This is Jason Kristoff, and you're listening to Awaken Nation with Brad Zales.
A huge shift is taking place on planet Earth. People seem to be waking up, tired of the way things used to be. They are creating something brand new and changing the world we live in. My name is Brad Zales, and I get to sit down with the next generation of idea makers, the disruptors, and the game changers. Everyday people, just like you and me, from all over, who are doing amazing things. Welcome to Awakened Nation.
Hey, everybody. You know, on this show, we do a deep dive into truth telling, trying to get to the bottom of what's really going on in probably a really crazy time period right now. I had two friends reach out to me, Dylan DeShell and Shannon Blaine, and they said, "Hey, Brad, you got to get Jason Kristoff on the show." So, Jason Kristoff, welcome to Awakened Nation, my friend.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me. Thanks to our mutual friend.
Yes. I'm always surprised where people come from. You know, we do outliers. We have outliers on the show and all kinds of people. So big shout out to Dylan, who I've known for years. But get ready. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go into propaganda, psyops, you know, psychological operations. We're going to talk about health. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff today. And I'm going to read Jason's bio in a minute. But Jason, all I have to ask is, what day and time did you wake up from the matrix is all I have to ask you.
Well, I've been doing this for over 20 years. So I'm really happy. I got some people around me in 2020 forward. I've been talking about sort of all aspects of sort of like an attack on the public that the public isn't noticing. I've been doing it for 20 years, and it's mostly because of personal pain that I've experienced, where the world is working in a way that delivers a lot of pain to its citizens. So it would give me great pause, and I would have to ask myself, you know, what's going on here? Why am I in so much pain? Why is so many other people in appears to be in so much pain as well? And then you start discovering things that only make sense if you don't think about them, which is a phrase I use quite a bit. The person that goes to the hospital seems to be the most sick. The one who takes the medication seems the most ill. And I was like, why is that? I don't understand. And then I would start investigating, and it wouldn't matter what topic it was. I would reach down and sort of find various, you know, answers to these problems, and none of them were good, Brad.
You know, a good friend of mine, Robert Scott Bell, who has the Robert Scott Bell Show, he said this phrase and it just stopped me dead. He says the most dangerous thing you can have in the United States of America is excellent health care insurance. And if you're listening, you're probably going, what? And it's like, they will run tests on you that you don't need, surgeries you don't need. And it's driven by money. I hate to say it. So yeah, you did what a lot of people do. They get a little bit sick, or they get a lot of bit sick, and they turn around and they start to question, well, wait a minute, I've been taking this for years. And I'm sick from the exact thing I was trying to avoid. What is going on? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was sick mostly from these mind viruses, which I only discovered later. I got into business when I was 24 and sort of hit it really big. And I didn't know about mind programs or mind control, but there are mind control programs that usually keep people in a poverty state. But there's also mind control programs that help people waste their money and destroy themselves if they walk in and into any financial abundance. So I started making a lot of money when I was 24. And then all of a sudden, I seemed to lose control of my behavior. And I was doing cocaine, and I was drinking alcohol, and I was going to bed late and getting up late and wasting my money and hanging around other people that seemed to hate themselves or hate their own potential as much as I hated mine. And I didn't find out till later that these sort of programs are downloaded into us by the media, usually when we're younger, like over our time watching the screens. And they're there for control-based purposes so that we dull our own shine and keep ourselves down, keep ourselves mediocre, so we don't rise up and become a threat to the system. So usually these programs are anti-abundance, and 90% of people don't walk into any wealth in their life because of these programs. But you know, there's other programs there for people who do. So they got us covered either way. And they really got me, almost killed myself, which was the program, if I got any money. And I also took a flu shot when I was 26 and I almost died. It was no exaggeration. I was in bed for 2 weeks. And because of my newly found wealth, I called my lawyer. He came to my bedside to make my last will and testament. I literally thought I was going to die.
We're going to talk about that, because I have friends who take the flu vaccine, the flu shot every single season. And I always turn around and look at them and I go, so how many days were you out sick? And they always say minimum of 4 days on the couch, violently sick from the flu shot. And I said, so you paid for them to inject you with the flu? They go, You know, they look at me like they didn't show up for that class in junior high that told you how vaccines work. Drives me up a wall. But I'm going to read your bio. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't figured it out right now, we're taking a deep dive into how the Matrix is used to control us. And Jason Kristoff runs an international overcoming self-sabotage and psychological reprogramming institute where students are educated on the subjects of mind control, brainwashing, behavior modification, and psychological manipulation. Jason's students then use their knowledge in these areas to help reprogram their clients into better versions of themselves on all levels. Jason believes that the social decay we openly see in our world today has only come about because key players in our society are using the manipulative psychology against most of humanity. We are to survive and thrive in the upcoming years. Jason believes that each citizen must understand these processes as to protect themselves from future psychological operations, also known as PSYOPs. Please welcome to the show, Jason Kristoff.
Thanks, Brad. That was, you know, it's a good bio. It does sum up exactly where I stand today, although I wasn't standing in that bio for a good amount of time, but I'm happy to be standing in that bio, say, for the last 20 years.
You know, I'm the same, my friend. You know, I grew up, my father being a chiropractor, and, you know, I was surrounded by health, and my father would not let me get vaccinated. My best friend across the street, his father was a general practitioner. I went to college for art and design, and I almost became a medical illustrator. And I got to tell you, you know, I know the body and the physiology pretty well. Spent 35 years in the, you know, the industry of doing pharmaceutical meetings, and I would literally read their data and just go, what in the is going on? Do they actually believe this? Because they weren't really healing the body. They were just giving a, you know, a prophylactic Band-Aid, not looking at the cure. So let's talk about that a little bit, because we're being bombarded everywhere to take this drug. You have erectile dysfunction. Take this drug. You have liver problems. Oh, and guess what? If you want to prevent shingles, get the shingles shot. You know, we're surrounded by this all day long. Pharmaceutical advertising was illegal at one point in this country, and now it's back. So let's talk about this. How do we spot that we're in a PSYOP and we're being programmed?
Well, how do you spot it? Well, you're probably going to be doing a lot of illogical and irrational things, the equivalent of running east looking for a sunset or rearranging the furniture on the deck of the Titanic. But if you take a really honest approach at sort of the structure that we live in, it's a two-prong approach. There is psychological operations that install your beliefs and ideas, and that's through mind control. And we can discuss what those modalities are so people can understand them. But sure, there's a standard set of mind control tactics that will get about 30% of the population doing, saying, and thinking what the controller wants them to think. And that's a good amount of people.
Yep.
But this group also knows that when you poison the population, it weakens the metabolism. And a lot of the mind control is based on our need for group acceptance, the power, the group pressure. And when you poison somebody, you weaken them. And it's shown that weakened animals need the group more. So the poisoning is part and parcel. It might look like it's abstract and all over the place. Teflon pans are poisonous. They've tested people who eat microwave food, and then you test their blood and it comes back as testing for the same reactions that you were poisoned. And then you have wheat flour, sugar, mercury teeth fillings, fluoride toothpaste. And the average person thinks those are all different, but they're not. In the realm of mind control, if I can poison you, you go through this neurological change where you're injured because of the poison. You register as weaker in your own metabolism, and weaker people need more group security. So if I can poison you, I can upregulate that percentage of the population above the standard 30%. So the two-prong governing structure that we all live under today is standard mind control tactics. That's the first one. The second one is this tsunami of poison, regardless of origin, but the tsunami of poison and all poisons, if you look at like Fritz Springmeier's work, it doesn't really matter what poison you give a mind control subject. It weakens them. Weakened people comply more to command than strong people. So you get this upregulation of efficiency and effectiveness of standard mind control tactics if you poison the population. And that's why even the food is sprayed where they say it's pesticides. They say it's for the bugs. It's not for the bugs. It's to help with the mind control. And it's also to make you sick. But they're the same thing. Because mind control is based on weakness. I cannot come up to you and bully you into a different opinion unless, say, you're financially weak, or you're mentally weak, or you're physically weak. You're in a wheelchair. I'm going to really have my way with you. Like, how are you going to resist me? And if you're unarmed and I'm armed, it's even worse. But these are all factors of strength. So this is sort of what we're all being living under. We're not aware that this weakening happens on these weird levels. Like even if you watch Netflix, say Leave the World Behind, which was a new Netflix release that I just did a mind control movie review on, released it today. The fear, the creepy music, the, you know, shattering of the glass, in the movie, there was a high frequency pitch that shattered the glass. There was weird deer. There was like 100 deer sort of in someone's yard, which is really spooky. But the fear response, which we know is the fight or flight response, activation is what's called the limbic system, the hindbrain, or what's called the R complex, or the reptilian brain. This weakens us again. This is a weakening of sort of operation, because weak humans do what they're told more than strong humans.
And it seems like, I mean, to me, America was founded on strong men and women. And so we're like the last stronghold, maybe next to Australia, where, you know, this inner strength is celebrated. But I do want to talk about this movie, Leave the World Behind, because I just watched it. Not because I would have ever watched it, because I don't like having my emotional body, you know, shaken awake, you know what I mean? That's why I stopped watching horror movies when I hit my 20s. I realized I don't like feeling like this. You know, I don't like to leave the theater like, wow, ooh, that was a rush. You know, I don't need that in my life. And You know, a story just popped into my head. I swear, this is, you'll appreciate this one, Jason. I went to the movies a lot with my best friend Dieter Hauer when we were kids. I grew up in a very small town. And there was nothing in the theater at one point, and there was just this movie, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And we thought, let's go see it. Well, I don't know, some of you who are listening, you might remember this, but movies were not as violent as they are today. You know, there wasn't as much killing and things like this. Well, I have to be honest with you. When we left the theater, we were actually shaken up because these ideals, you know, cannibalism, violently killing somebody in order to eat them to survive, the terrorism, you know, the terrorizing that was done on the screen to emotionally get you to lean in. It's actually pretty tame today, but back then we had never seen anything like that. And when we left the theater, both Dieter and I agreed, whoa, what just happened? What just happened to us that we were shaken up? And I remember this in every detail to this day when we left the theater because it was hot and we had to walk home. We came out in the sunlight and we were like people who have been in a hostage situation almost. And I realized today that was traumatic programming. That's one of the tools in their kit to get us to be desensitized to violence, both in the real world and on the screen. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, this isn't, if you really investigate this group, it's well beyond Dr. Anthony Fauci. You go back very far into history. This is very old technology. So there is something, an ancient ritual called a cremation of care. And what you just described is a cremation of care ritual. And this has benefits for the controller. So what happens is you flood the neurology with so many fear and terror and panic-based impulses that it has to shut down in order to protect itself. So you would have exited the theater without knowing, this is actually ancient black magic in books that are hundreds of years old. You exit the theater in modern day, being sort of exposed to an old black magic ritual where your ability to care had to shut down for you to survive the trauma. Now, when you walk around the world, that means your care was cremated. That's why it's called a cremation of care ritual. And it means you don't really have the full neurological capacity to care anymore. Care how you're treated, care how your life goes, care how much taxes you have. So the big sort of advantage of completely traumatizing the public 24 hours a day is they lose their footing in regards to actually being a human and caring about their life direction. Now, if I'm in the business of ruling you and I can trick you not to care about your own life, big advantage to me because I'm going to make your life miserable. And if you don't care how much, kind of crap you shovel down at ABC Dirt Factory, you don't care about your standard of living or your happiness factor, that really benefits me as the ruling group.
There was a lot of symbolism in the movie that we were just talking about, Leave the World Behind. And I noticed it ended right in the middle of where the story could have gotten interesting. And I was like, wait a minute. So you're sitting there like, what just happened? Everybody turns on each other. The clocks were all at 666. There were three clocks in the room. The kids are wearing Obey T-shirt, and then the other one was NASA. The deers are symbolism as well. There was a subplot where maybe somebody was living in the shed that never got explored. Kevin Bacon, turned into, a survivalist. Now nobody was his friend. There was a lot of symbolism in that movie, And unlike in the past, where it was a complete fantasy, like when we used to watch a James Bond movie, you'd just sit there and go, ha, that guy's crazy. That would never exist in real life. We are now cultivating and getting stories thrown into our face that actually align with our reality now. And so I feel that it almost shocks us even more. It sits us on the edge even more because it's possible. It's not in the realm of complete fantasy or science fiction.
Yeah, and I, I see the movies a little differently, given my, I mean, I just got back from the Romanian Palace of the Parliament in
I saw that.
Bucharest, giving a talk on mind control and media during the COVID operation to the Romanian parliamentary group. So I see these movies a little different. And the average person, if they want to analyze the movies in a mind control fashion that's accurate, the first thing you got to look for is repetition. What is the most repetitive content of the film that I'm watching? And there's a reason for that. Because 80% of all brainwashing is going to be repetition. Because a brainwashing expert or mind control expert knows all humans have this thing called the subconscious mind. So the subconscious mind is a safety mechanism. Our bodies are safety mechanisms. Like if you get cut, Brad, your cut will heal. You didn't have a say in it, and it's healing because it's safer than staying open. Now, this subconscious part of the mind is also not in your control. It operates, you don't have a say, and it's really interested in repetitive content. The reason it's interested in repetitive content, because it is a safety system, it assumes that if it can count the most repetitive content, it will reflect what the bigger herd is saying or doing. And then, if this invisible part of the mind can make you mimic, mirror, or copy that, all this repetitive content, and if it is sort of reflective of what the bigger herd is saying, thinking, or doing, and you act it out, they'll take you in, and therefore it's safer. So the people who understand this concept really upregulate the repetitive content in the direction that they want to hack this invisible part of the mind. And I'll give you, before I tell you what the most repetitive content was in Leave the World Behind, let me give you a real-world example to show you how powerful the repetitive content is to hack this unconscious invisible part of the mind and change the direction of the movie watcher. In 2001, there was a movie called Gone in 60 Seconds with Angelina Jolie and Nicolas Cage. It was about a movie about car theft. It had your Hollywood script. Nicolas Cage's brother was in trouble with a local thug, and it was enough trouble to get Nicolas Cage's brother killed. Nicolas Cage in this movie was a professional car thief that had retired and made promises that he would never steal a car again. And the thug came up and said, "I won't kill your brother if you steal 100 cars for me." And he said, "How long do I got?" He says, "24 hours." And these are the 100 cars I want, all of them super rare, super hard to find. So they didn't film all 100 thefts, but they filmed quite a bit. And there was other positive reinforcement there. You're not only being a saver, you, the car thief, gets Angelina Jolie as his companion. So there's a lot of repetitive content. So if you're sitting in the movie as a moviegoer watching this movie, Gone in 60 Seconds, that's proven this invisible part of the brain that's counting repetition, looking for what the bigger herd is saying, thinking, or doing so that it can force you to adopt that behavior as your own so you fit in. It's proven not to know the difference between real time, what's on the screen, and imagined thought. So if you're sitting in the theater watching this movie, it literally, and it's loving, like this part of the brain works this loving process so that you're safe. And it thinks you're sitting in the middle of a car theft tribe. And if you want to blend in with a car theft tribe, which is the most repetitive imprint that it's getting, well, then you steal cars. And in Burnaby, BC, Canada, when this movie was released, The Burnaby police documented that car theft went up 70% in the first 4 days
What?
after the movie was released. And you can verify this. Dr. Jerry Kroth, Kroth, is a psychology professor out of Santa Clara University in California. He documents this stuff to say this is how dangerous the mind control is at the movies, and this is ancient black magic. This is not new tech.
Right.
This is ancient tech through an ancient group who know how to do this, and other sort of municipalities were getting the car theft warnings, and then some of the dispatchers were like, "Do you happen to have that movie playing at your theater?" And they're like, "Yeah, why? What is the matter?" And I say,
Yeah.
"Well, something's going on here." Even the Cosby Show, and it was a, you know, started in 1989 with Bill Cosby, and you know, it had a 9-year run. I don't know what station it was, but Bill Cosby was an African American medical doctor on the Cosby Show. His wife, Claire Huxtable, was an African American lawyer. Now, during the 9-year run of the show, African American enrollment in law medical school went up 19%. And then after the Jerry Kroth calls that the, you know, the Cosby effect. And
Right.
then after the Cosby Show was pulled, and a lot of people think it was pulled because it was too positive an effect on the black community, Jerry Kroth documented, now came what's called the Lil Wayne effect, where gangster rap and, you know, crude and negative role modeling was given to the black community, and post-secondary enrollment in any post, you know, in university or college plummeted below pre-Cosby Show levels. So people have to be aware that the most repetitive content this group we're dealing with has a saying: what's on the screen at noon will be at the street at night. And whatever we want the people to do, we just got to make it repetitive, because this adaptation safety system is natural, comes as standard human equipment on the human body, and it can be hacked. And the less you know about it, like if you're watching, what's this movie we're analyzing, Julia Roberts,
Leave the world behind.
Leave the World Behind.
It was
That's
actually a
a,
book, by the way.
well, yeah, I can imagine that, you know, this is how some of these things roll out. The more people that see it or read it, the better. But this is, when you watch the movie Leave the World Behind, you better be looking for repetitive content. And a lot of people today are on their own mind control trip, and they're looking for the 33s or the, you know,
Yeah.
the triangles or the 666s. But this movie with Ethan Hawke and Julia Roberts, Leave the World Behind, it was much more simple than that. Look for the repetitive content, and you will see. You'll see their 1-2 weapons in mind control, because it was so repetitive, it should be in everybody's face. And it's not only repetitive in this film, it's repetitive in all films, and it ranks the most repetitive content in all Hollywood films. It's coffee and alcohol, because coffee and alcohol cause a particular form of brain damage and a change in brainwave state that makes someone almost impossible to re for them to resist mind control. And the repetition needed to change someone's behavior, like say Gone in 60 Seconds, the person would have watched 12 or 15 cars stolen. But it's been proven I can change your behavior. And there's videos I show in my demonstrations around the world. I will show videos where there's only two repetitive imprints, and then the victim, the mind control victim, changes their behavior in the exact same way that the controller predicted they could do so before the experiment started. They only need two repetitive themes, two repetitive pictures, two repetitive imprints. And if you go and watch this movie, Leave the World Behind, you will see at least 30 to 40 imprints of coffee and caffeine, 30 to 40 imprints of alcohol. And so this, and of course, we see the marijuana, alcohol, and caffeine. This group, this ancient group, are known to work in the psychoactive drug field. This is how they infiltrate countries and take them over. You can go back to the Opium Wars in China, where the UK royals took over the entire nation of China using opium. You can do the fentanyl, OxyContin, you could the cocaine cartel, the Clinton cocaine cartel. They're not running the cocaine just for profit. They're running the cocaine. You can verify that if you wish, people in the documentary, The Clinton Chronicles, if you think that's a far-fetched claim. They're not running the cocaine just for profit. They're running the cocaine because to infiltrate and take down the United States, you never need everybody on one or more psychoactive drugs. Cocaine is pretty powerful. Caffeine is the most powerful psychoactive drug for mind control ever tested.
Wow, my mind just got blown by that. I knew that they were pushing opioids and things like that to bring us down, just like the British did to the Chinese population, you know, with opium dens and things like that, to destroy the structure internally of the strong person who isn't swayed by anything. Folks, if you're freaking out right now, or you think this is a conspiracy theory, let me point something out to you. When I was writing my first book, Liquid Leadership, I was talking about generational issues, why the next generation thinks so differently. And the number one, there were three factors that I discovered. And the number one that had the greatest influence was not only did computers come into the household, but so did video games. And Jason, Reader's Digest did an expose probably about 20 years ago. They found a trend, and this was back probably 2007, 2009, in around there. They found a trend amongst high school students. They'd have these straight A students who would be pulled over by a police officer, and they would grab the officer's gun, shoot the police officer, and steal the cop car and drive off. And these were straight A students. They couldn't figure out why this was happening. They would get life sentences in jail. Well, they found out that this was the video game Grand Theft Auto. Whenever a kid was playing this game, their reaction, the subconscious and the reactive mind, suddenly made them violent. Now, some people will argue with me, video games don't make you violent. They don't. You know, I can sit there. I have a black belt in Kenpo Jiu-Jitsu. Do I run around beating everybody up? No. But my reactive mind, and this is in the cell structure and the training I've received, you touch me or my girlfriend, I don't know how I'm going to react, but it will be with extreme violence to stop what is happening because I've been trained to do so. Well, guess what? When kids play these video games, especially the violent video games today, their brain is actually spiking and getting a workout in those areas of the brain that we haven't really used since the days of the being cavemen, which is fight or flight. Now you are cognizant of the fact that you are playing a video game. Unfortunately, your brain as an organ does not know the difference. Therefore, and they've suppressed all the studies that prove this, your young people who play violent video games have actually been desensitized to violence. And guess what? They are quite capable of making moral compromises in situations that you and I, when we were kids, we didn't have to decide, you know, a life or death situation. They have in video games from the early ages of five. So you want to talk about the crucible, you know, the destruction of and desensitization. We have a whole generations that have been deprogrammed, desensitized to violence.
Absolutely. I mean, this mimicking, copying, and mirroring effect is very well known. Even in the Netflix show, The Queen's Gambit, which was about 3 or 4 years ago, it was about a pill-popping alcoholic chess player who, would go around and have various issues. And not only were people mimicking the pill popping and the alcoholism that was flagrantly repeated as repetitive content in this movie. Chess sales went up thousands of percent on Amazon.
Wow.
This mimicking effect, people know it. I mean, this is really what happened as well in 2020 with COVID, simply because the past 30 years prior to 2020, there was a lot of repetitive content in the movie genre of zombies, shots that save the day, and horrific outcomes if you don't comply to the medical applications. I mean, it doesn't matter if it was I Am Legend with Will Smith, if it was Contagion with Matt Damon and Lawrence Fishburne, even when we were younger, it was Dustin Hoffman, an Outbreak, World War Z with Brad Pitt, 28 Days. There was 300 to 400 major cinematic film releases in the 30 years prior to 2020 to get the repetitive content in. And if you go watch Contagion, which was a documentary that was a movie that was released in 2011 with Lawrence Fishburne and Matt Damon, it literally was a documentary of what we were expected to do, what we were programmed to do. And everybody sort of would, this is called dormant programming, where they put in the repetition and then sort of roll another movie that is basically it's going live. And the audience members, which is anybody that's watched any of these films, would say, Oh, it's like putting their hand up when they're in grade one. Oh, I know the answer. We're going to lock down, because that's what they did in Contagion. We're going to mask up. We're going to wash hands. We're going to keep our distance. Even in Contagion, there was Sanjay Gupta interviewing, you know, Lawrence Fishburne's character. And Sanjay Gupta said, "What about this new medication, Rubiviren?" He said, "What are the chances that there's this sort of miracle drug before the vaccine arrives in Contagion, starts with an R, and then in 2020, 2021, we have remdesivir. Like, what are the chances, right?" And yeah, this group knows how to lay the repetitive content down so that we think we're making up our minds and that we're blazing our path and we've discovered the real solution, when really it's hand fed into us through what's called the subconscious mind pathway.
Folks, if you don't believe this, I'm going to point some things out to you. When you go on an audition as a actor, they call you in to a casting audition. You know, spells are cast. So they have a casting director and they make sure they choose the actor properly. There's a whole science to it, by the way. You have to go to college to learn how to pick the right personalities that will interact on the screen. Hollywood, the wood from a holly tree is actually what they use for magic wands. When they call television programming, you know, television programming, you are being programmed. So if you don't believe this, the clue train has left the station and there are the clues right in front of you. You know, I took some acting and I actually was a professional stand-up comedian for a little while and I wrote a lot of screenplays. And the patterns in screenplays and television shows, my professor kind of showed us the formula. And the one thing that people don't realize is all television sitcoms and television shows are about the middle class, either striving to become rich or being knocked on their ass to go back down to where they started in life. There is no in between on that. You know, take Downton Abbey, you know, that's about the servant class having to interact with the, you know, the elite class, let's call it, and how, you know, they don't allow the certain people in. These are programs that we kind of have to let go of if we're going to come into a brand new world. And we have to spot it right out in front. And listen to someone like Jason, because your work is brilliant, brother. I just want to say that. I've listened to other podcasts you're on. Anything you want to say about this is black magic. You know, we're looking, a television is a black mirror, and a black mirror is used to summon demons, to summon things from the dark world. You have a black mirror sitting in your home right now.
Yeah, this is the vampire, right, that people invited over the threshold. And this technology was known in ancient times. It's the heart of the magician that drives it, because there's only one way to mind control people. You have to, whatever repetitive content you put out, most people, especially if you serve some beer or wine or alcohol or drugs at the event, like they used to do at ancient, you know, harvest times and sort of ancient ceremonies, they will mimic, copy, and emulate the most repetitive content. And it's important for people to understand, like when they go to the cinema, it's going to, the people who rule us don't care what cinema you go into. Cinema one, cinema two, cinema three, cinema four. And of course, the word screen means to obscure, like a screenshot in hockey, or you put a, you know, a screen on your window. You don't get to see reality clearly through the screen, right? And so you have to be aware that all these foundational mind control programs are in every movie. I don't care if you see Morgan Freeman, Cinema One, or Brad Pitt in Cinema Two, George Clooney in Cinema Three, you will see the coffee. You will see the alcohol. You will see the weed. And you will also see things like, say, they don't want you pursuing money and having financial strength. Because, of course, when people said, we're told you have to get the shot or you lose your job, if you got $2 million in the bank, you say, thank you very much. I think I'll go home and you can send me the rest of my payment. But let's take, say, the movie Titanic. People say, I love that movie. But if you go watch the Titanic, Jack Dawson, he was a man who won his ticket. He didn't have to buy it and get involved with that dirty money. Rose was marrying the rich guy. And of course, like in all movies, he's a prick. And the poor guy is the love of her life. So if you're poor, you get this beautiful woman chasing you. You get lucky. You'll get sort of gifted these high-end experiences without even really trying. And then Rose is up in the first class cabin having dinner with her rich boyfriend. They gave her a $40 million necklace. She's not happy. Rich, you know, wealth doesn't buy happiness, but neither does poverty. But that's not inside the movies at all. And then she sneaks down, not to the second class cabin, but to the third class cabin where Jack and the other poverty-stricken, mediocre, dull shine people are having the party of the lifetime. And the message is, if you're poor, you're more noble. If you're poor, you're going to have more fun. If you're poor, you're going to get lucky, not only with the ticket, but with this really beautiful lady. You're going to be every woman's heart's desire, and she's going to love you for the rest of your life. And it doesn't matter if it's The Equalizer, Denzel Washington in The Equalizer, strongest man, can kill people with his bare hands, works at Home Hardware, has so little money, has one pair of shoes, and poor guy lost his wife, cleans his shoes at night with a toothbrush because he can't afford a second pair. And the rich guy, where's the rich guy in The Equalizer? His name is Slavy. He beats up the prostitutes that work under his, his pimpage. And he's the big bad guy. He's the prick. And everybody that's wealthy is the prick. Everybody that's poor and slaving away walks the high moral ground, is more noble, has more fun, and has more spiritual depth in their life. This sort of programming is completely insidious, and it's on every front. It's done on purpose. These movies are not made to entertain you. They're there to entrain you. They're not there to inform you. They're there to misinform you, and they will keep you running east looking for a sunset. People have to be very aware that the world they believe they live in is that matrix I talked about. They are governed by mind control and poisons that upregulate mind control. This is their entire world, and this is why they're depressed, and this is why they're out of money, and this is why they're out of shape and addicted, and nothing's working in their life because all their failure-based cycles are imprinted into them through repetitive content on the screens.
I like how you break things down. And it is, it's for mind control to work, it has to resonate with some of your core beliefs, even if it's just a little. And you touched on something I grew up with. My grandfather owned a bar and a restaurant and was working, you know, from 5:30 in the morning, he'd get up, you know, take a shower, get ready at 7, out the door. He'd come home late at 11:30. I waited up for him when I was a little boy, you know, like 3-4 years old. And he would make me a snack and we'd sit and watch the news together and I, you know, fall asleep. My grandfather's programming was you have to work hard to earn every penny, not dollar, penny. He hated rich people and to make sure that this base programming was set in him and me, by the way, he actually used to work for a union, textile union, and met with Eleanor Roosevelt, and they talked about the plight of, you know, the working class and the struggles and all this. And there's a photo of my grandfather sitting at the left hand of Eleanor Roosevelt talking about this. So years later, I took a company public on NASDAQ, and, you know, suddenly I'm worth millions, just like you at a young age. And everything that I touched seemed to be, I didn't have the Midas touch. I had the opposite. I had the lead touch. And I realized, what the hell is going on? And years later, I start to realize there was an exorbitant amount of guilt. You know, why did I get wealthy? You know, I didn't personally and cognitively have the belief that I hated myself, but there was a feeling there that I didn't deserve this. Mm-hmm. Even though I worked 95-hour weeks for 7 straight years, you know, it just sat there. So there is a program in all of us that you just choose your media and it's right there to piss you off or to make you, to null you down and make you sort of compliant. And what do we do nowadays, Jason? You know, we're in a day and age where people are so stressed out, they don't know how to relax to the point that they're turning back to things like drugs and alcohol, or not even heroin, just like marijuana, alcohol, you know, I'll just have a little glass of wine so I can calm down and feel good. Because I truly believe our stress signals are at this level now. You know, we are in constant fight or flight mode because every time you turn on the news, there's something for you to be worried about or believe in or we're arguing about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. You just gotta, there are solutions, and it takes sort of repetitive exposure to a speaker like me or content like I put out. So I want to give people, you know, the easy solution is you have to turn down the negative repetitive content and turn up the positive if you want your life to change in a positive way. That takes time. It takes some coaching. I give that coaching free on my email system. I also have programs that aren't mandatory, but if you want to get sort of slow drip this information for free to see that this is a real thing, and if anybody just wants to get on my email list where I teach them for free, I'll tell you what. Email me at info@jchristoff.com and ask for something called the push. And that's what I'll end with today is this. I'll prove to people how powerful repetitive content is and the power of the group, the power of the group pressure. There's a mind control specialist by the name of Darren Brown. He is one of the world's best. Netflix has employed him many times to show his magic, and his magic never fails to deliver the goods. And his made-for-Netflix special called The Push which is very hard to find on the internet for a reason. Because if you watch this made for TV Netflix special, you will understand what happened in 2020 and 2021. So he hires 70 actors and sets up a 2-hour scenario, 4 different times. So he ran the same scenario 4 different times with 4 different people. And it was a masterful execution of group pressure and repetitive hacking of the subconscious mind, the subconscious pathway, where this invisible part of the mind is looking for what the group is doing and want to rapidly follow to be accepted. The end scene is a man. He's an actor. He's a stuntman. But the victims, the people that were put into this 70-actor scenario who didn't know what was going on, they don't know he's a stuntman. He's on top of a 15-story building with his legs hanging off. And there's reasons for that. And the group pressure comes in to the point where everybody in the group who are actors are pressuring the non-actor that was the victim of this 2-hour mind hack to solve all their problems by pushing this old man to his death. Now, he's harnessed, but the victim of the mind hack does not know this. And I will let you know, 3 out of 4 of those people killed the old man live on video. If you don't believe you can be mind hacked to do things that are completely against your genetic drive to survive, which is exactly what happened in 2020 and 2021, people were mind controlled and pressured to work against their genetic need to survive and do things that is obviously causing some major problems with their health today. Email me. I will send you the push. Email me at info@jchristoff.com. I'll put you on my list and I'll slow drip you this information over time. I don't care what problem you have in your life. If your life is going south and in the ditch, it's because of what I've talked about in this entire interview. And if you want to reverse it, you will have to know how it works and you'll have to know the simple solutions to back yourself out.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take Jason up on his offer, please. That is incredibly powerful, Jason. Thank you so much for being on Awakened Nation. I do have one more question, and if you can stick around, we do a lightning round. I really have to know about coffee because I love coffee, almost impossible to give up. I've tried to give it up. I can tell you my own personal belief about coffee. I believe it causes our gums to recede. I believe it robs us of a lot of magnesium. I do know it stimulates the central nervous system. I regret that my parents gave me baby coffee when I was like 10, 11 years old. I never drank it till I went to New York City and worked at an ad agency and a production company. And then I found myself drinking four large cups until my heart pounded out of my chest one day. And I said, oh, maybe I should cut back. But let's talk about coffee.
Well, basically, to start, to add validity to whatever I'm going to say going forward, read this book by Stephen Chernesky. So Chernesky is Chernesky. Stephen Chernesky. The book is Caffeine Blues. Whoever reads this, who's ever brave enough to read it, will not believe how many diseases caffeine causes. Now, basically, caffeine is what's called an alkaloid poison. The coffee plant uses that poison to kill bugs and kill competing foliage so that the plant can gather more sunlight. The caffeine's in the leaves, it's also in the pods. This is the poison you react to give you extra energy. So when you're poisoned as a human being, your metabolism will increase in order to more quickly detox and, dilute the poison. This is why a lot of people have explosive diarrhea after they call themselves regular, right? They'll have a coffee and then have to run to the bathroom. And because the body doesn't like the caffeine because it's a poison. So anytime you poison yourself, you have the fight or flight reaction, which is the limbic system activation. Limbic system activation is where mind control is more efficient because the limbic system is basically low IQ. It has no ability to judge long-term consequences. So if I'm telling you to take a medical experiment and you're in the limbic system, you're not thinking the long-term effects. You're thinking, I just got to get out of this fight or flight mode. Limbic system is the fight or flight. A lot of people understand they would have their fight or flight activated if a mugger was attacking them or a wild dog or bear is attacking them. Your body is equally afraid of the bear as it is of caffeine. You have the only one fight or flight response when you drink caffeine. You have the fight or flight response, low IQ, no ability to judge long-term consequences, and always sort of taking the child IQ position, looking for an authority figure to lead them to safety. So again, and don't forget, 1987, Starbucks had six shops. It was going bankrupt. A man named Howard Schultz was trying to buy it for, say, $2 million. He got outbid by someone he shared his acquisition plan with. And then, sure enough, some two big billionaires come rolling down to help him. They didn't even know Howard Schultz. It was Bill Gates Sr., William Gates Sr., and Bill Gates Jr. And now Starbucks have gone from six shops to 35,000 shops. Why do you think the Gates family would be interested in some place that serves caffeine and poisons across the full smorgasbord? Because caffeine and poisons weaken the population, weaken people are basically neurologically more prone to follow mind control commands that are repetitive on the screen. People have to understand, I don't care what aspect of society you live in. In my town too, you can go to the bank where they have mind control programs. The Toronto Dominion Bank, where I bank, has mind control programs on the screen. If you open up an account, you get free air miles, free things at Starbucks, free things at the liquor store. This is a poison-based mind control ambush, front to back, no exceptions. And this is how we're being ruled. And for us to get out from the heel of these tyrants, we'll have to understand how we're controlled, how 10,000 people control 8 billion people.
It's scary. And some people still believe Bill Gates is a philanthropist and a good guy. His father was a lawyer who worked for Margaret Sanger, who believed in eugenics, the wiping out of certain races. So if you don't think Bill has picked up on some of that and pretending that he's a good guy, you might want to pick up Jason's work if you want to get out of that belief system. Wow. Thank you so much for being on Awakened Nation, Jason. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Brad. I hope everybody's okay. Take it easy. Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. You'll be fine.
So I'm going to do a lightning round. I always ask three great questions of my guests that we get to know you a little bit better. And yeah, folks, I have a friend who just reached out to me recently and he started asking questions. And because we're friends, he listens and he's doing the research. But he is as deep into the matrix as possible. Doesn't even know that, certain speech has been banned. Let's pray for him. I'm teasing.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. I hope he watches this episode. So, my first question I have to ask is there anything that really scares you?
Everything would scare me as much as the next person, but I have my own particular strategy. I have these aspects of my life called the five pillars of strength. So I have physical, financial, emotional, spiritual, and intellectual, and I am strong in all five. And so whatever happens, I believe I will have the resources and intelligence and emotional stability to navigate the storm properly. And then if I don't make it with a full dedication to these five pillars of strength, I would believe that 90% of the population would also not make it. So although I'm afraid of what everybody else is afraid of, I also know that I'm fit financially, I'm fit physically, emotionally I'm fit, spiritually I know why I'm here. I probably used to work for the Dark Lord at one time in my 20s, as I recounted when we started this, but I work for, you know, God protects me. And when you do God's work, trust me, you do have to trust, and the golden road will appear in front of you as you walk it. You have to walk the right-hand path, not the left-hand path. The right-hand path is you earn your way in society by giving service. The left-hand path is what we see in governments today. They are takers, infants of the tribe, destroyers of resources, and they want without offering any service in return. So I walk the right-hand path, and although I'm afraid, I do have faith that there's protective forces working with me.
Beautifully said. My second question is, what's your greatest hope?
My greatest hope is I walk down the road and I don't see children in wheelchairs or disempowered parents that potentially put their children in the wheelchairs. I've always started my work based on the foundation of protecting children from a system they know nothing about. And everything, I mean, basically, let's be honest, in our society today, the children are the number one targets of this very ancient and dark cult. People don't even know ultrasounds are x-rays. They're not sounds. If you need documentation on that, you can go to Janice Barcelo's work on ultrasounds. Her website is called birthofanewearth.com. We inject in the United States 26 vaccines into a child between the time they're born and 1 year old. In Canada, it's 24 vaccines. We target these poor children, God's children, with so much darkness and evil intent. It's a surprise anybody's alive on this planet. So my dream and hope would be to walk down and see healthy and happy people, children that aren't injured, and parents that understand their charge on the planet, that they are here to protect their children from evil. That would be my hope.
Powerful. Very, very powerful. Where do you hope to see the human race in the next 10 years?
I know the human race is completely capable of making heaven on earth if they're unpoisoned. So I would love to see the flourishing of, basically, we all are charged and have this part of the brain just behind the forehead called the prefrontal cortex or the frontal lobe. It's the opposite of the limbic system, high IQ. It dreams things into reality. It's very powerful. It has capabilities we're not even taught about. And when you're in fear, you don't have access to it. When you're poisoned, you don't have access to it. If we can understand that most of this battle is a war on the frontal lobe, they don't want us having access to the higher IQ or higher brain or neurological capabilities, I believe, you know, in 10 years, our society could be literally, you know, having free energy, healthy food for everybody. We could really flourish as a society, and we could really knock this evil cabal right in the dirt where it deserves and send it back into the cave from where it came.
From your lips to God's ears, my friend, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody, please reach out to Jason Kristoff. It's info@jkristoff.com. Is that correct?
Yes, just one initial J. Kristoff is Christ with an OFF, and yeah, that's not lost on me either.
Yeah. If you want to get deprogrammed and step out of the matrix, whoa, as Keanu Reeves would say, it's time. It's time to wake up to some of the things that have been played on the human race. My favorite word lately is bamboozled, my friend, because it says it so perfectly. We have been bamboozled. So once again, thank you for being on the show, my friend. And anything you want to say in closing?
I just think people don't get too overwhelmed. And if you want to start with one of the pillars of health, with which I consider the foundational pillar, start with the physical strength. And if you only want one book, you only need one book in the house. I don't get paid for this. The guy doesn't even know me. He knows me, but he doesn't know of me. His name is Paul Cech, Chek. I was a student, unknown student in his school. And he has a book called How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy. You want to start with any of the five pillars and get ready for what's coming, regardless of what it is. Get ready physically. Read the book, How to Eat, Move, and Be Healthy. And then, you know, you'll vibrate out this positive physical energy to everybody in your home. You know, bring it. It's sort of a very good book on how to make sure you and your family stay healthy, moving into the future, be ready for whatever's coming, be strong, and just know I believe in everybody. So thanks for having me again, Brad.
Thank you as well, Jason. You're quite welcome. Powerful information, my friend. Very powerful. Hey, everybody, tune in next week. We're going to have another extraordinary guest here on Awaken Nation. Until then, bye-bye.
Thank you so much for being a big part of the Awaken Nation movement. This is how you can help me and our extraordinary guests. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please share it out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And let's grow this movement by word of mouth. Our success will be because of you. Thank you, and see you next week.